But as long as they're alive, there is space for repentance. The long-suffering of God leads us to repentance. God suffers long with our sins. He forgives us, though we sin 490 times without repenting. And when we finally repent, it forgives all 490 times. One repentance for 490 sins. That can be quite a bargain for us, but for God, it's very expensive. It cost him his own blood, the blood of his son. But, look at this, the wisdom here. Rebuke is part of forgiveness. There's nothing wrong. I get this thing from people where I want to rebuke someone who's in sin. They're not repenting at all. They're sinning with no repentance. And I rebuke them and they say, why don't you just forgive them? And I say, well, they're not repenting. And the whole need not a physician. People who don't need forgiveness ought not be forgiven. Why should I forgive someone who doesn't want to be forgiven? I would only offend them. In the modern sense of offense, like, I don't need your forgiveness. I don't want your forgiveness. I haven't done anything wrong. Go away. I don't need this. I don't need you to forgive me. Jesus, in some other places, he gives other accounts where he says, rebuke him, and if he hear you, you have gained your brother. And if he will not hear you, go bring someone else. And then if he won't hear those people, then go to the church. And if he won't hear the church, let him be unto you as an heathen man, as a publican. Not as a publican who repents, but as a publican who is unrepentant. An unrepentant sinner. There's no place for that in Christ's doctrine. And they said, well, Paul, how can you say that? Look at the Pharisees. Jesus didn't just forgive the Pharisees. He held their sins against them. He was always holding things against them. You, woe to you, you blind guides. You do this, you do that, you do this. How are you going to escape the damnation of hell? Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? The Pharisees he was absolutely unforgiving of. And so, well, then you look at Paul and you say, well, yeah. There is an unrepentant Pharisee he struck down. And he repented. That's where predestination really comes in. Because sometimes, even my repentance, I feel like I repented. I'm sorry. But God is acting on me to mold me that way. To soften my heart. Romans 9. Verse 5. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. The faith of a mustard seed is absolute. It knows where it's going, what it's going to be. People always look at the smallness of it. It's not the size of the faith. It is the absoluteness of the faith. How do we measure faith? How big is big faith? What is it big? You think of great faith. Is great faith something that is, like a coconut or like a mustard seed? And what's the difference? Why is it more like a mustard seed than like a coconut? Not that Jesus, in his time, in his place, that there was much any knowledge of coconuts. I know not. But the idea is that he could have chose something bigger. Faith as this seed or that seed. But he chose something small. Doubtless for some purpose. That great faith can come in a very small package. To me, when you increase the size of faith, it is you're believing in more things. I trust God to deliver me from my sins, to heal me from my sicknesses, to walk on the water, to cause me to walk on the water, to lift up the sycamine tree and plant it in the sea, to do all kinds of things. A broad faith. A faith that believes all things. And then there's the sureness of the faith. Like, this I know. This thing. If everything else is in doubt, this one thing I believe. That is the narrowness of faith, the direction of the faith and the absoluteness of it. That is the mustard seed faith. It is a very narrowly focused kind of faith at one goal, becoming a mustard tree or a mustard shrub, bush, whatever, but growing into what it was intended to grow into. So if you have a word from God that says you're going to be free from your sins, then to have faith as a mustard seed is to truly believe that that will be. And not just believe it, but to know that that's going to be and to see what it will be. Same thing with the sycamine tree. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to the sycamine tree, be plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea. And it would do it. Because, now, why? Why do we have faith in things? Is it just because of mind over matter? Is it telekinesis? No. That's a mistake I think people make when they understand what Jesus is saying. It almost sounds like telekinesis, right? Just, if I just believe that I can do it, I can do it. But why do you believe you can do it? Why? Do you believe you can do it because you believe in belief? That I believe that if I believe something, therefore it'll be done. Just because I believe it. And I think that can't be our interpretation. I think our interpretation has to be that if God wants it to be done, we know we can do it. And I can't look at it in another way, because I just, the telekinesis aspect of it does not seem to fit with me with Jesus' doctrine. He did not call us to be Christian excavators and movers of mountains and trees and Christian landscaping with telekinesis powers. I don't think he intended to say that, and I don't think that's what's being said here. So what I think he is meaning is that whatever God gives us to do, we will do, no matter how ridiculous it sounds, no matter how impossible it sounds. That's the point, is that a tree would just get up and go into the sea. He's saying, no matter how impossible the thing seems, if you truly believe that that's what's going to happen, meaning, I believe, if God, like, here's how belief works. God says to me, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. God comes to me and says, Paul, speak to that tree. Tell it to get up and go to the sea. And then, now faith is when I actually say it. If I had faith as a grain of mustard seed, I might say to the sycamine tree, be thou removed and cast in the sea. Now I'm obeying God in faith. And in my heart, I believe, and it's being done. And the thing gets up and goes. Those are the things we believe in, is the things that God has said will happen if we believe. You know, by these great and precious promises, we are partakers of the divine nature. And what do we do with promises? I mean, what do we... We believe them. You shall be free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Well, I believe it. And I say to myself, Paul, be free. And if I can have faith and doubt not, I'll be free. And I want God to send me the faith to say, right now, Lord, right now, make me free. Keep me free. Now don't let me turn to iniquity and sin again.